Okay, we're going to begin here on the bottom of Lamed Aleph and Bet. Yesterday we read the Mishnah with regards to Chuma, Ochel Chumat Chametz BePesach. We discussed the differences between eating Chuma BeShogeg and eating Chuma BeMezid. So here the Gemara is going to discuss that much more in detail to understand or parse exactly what is the din with regards to eating Chuma BeShogeg. So the Gemara begins with Tnan Hatam. We have a Mishnah over there in Chumot, which is Ochel Chuma BeShogeg. Someone who eats Chuma, someone who's a zar, someone not supposed to partake of chuma, someone's not a kohen, mishalem keren v'chomesh. Then he has to repay it through payment of principal plus a chomesh with fifth on top of it. Again, it's a chomesh milabar, which really means 25%. Echad ochel, one who eats it. Echad ashoteh, same one who drinks. Echad asach, someone who anoints themselves with it. Echad chumat mea, doesn't matter if it's chumat mea. Echad chumat tehora, mishalem chomesh. Then he pays this chomesh. I mean, this din applies to someone who eats, drinks, or anoints themselves with Chuma, then they have to compensate in this manner, which is they have to compensate through Keren v'chomesh. Now, in addition to that, when they pay the Chomesh, v'chomesha d'chomesha, that Chomesh, or once they've now made payment for the Chuma, that which the payment is now becomes Chuma, and therefore, if he then eats by accident that Chomesh, or that additional Chomesh, he'll have to pay Keren plus a Chomesh on that additional Chomesh. So this has to do with the din, which the Gemara is going to ask about, which is a pasuk found in Parshat Emor with regards to Chuma. The pasuk says, "Biish ki ochal kodesh." So there the Gemara darshins with regards to kodesh. Over here, the kodesh that's referring to is Chuma. So it says, "Biish ki ochal kodesh bishkaga," unintentionally. "V'yasav chamishito alav." Then in the repayment, he not only has to repay that which he ate, but he has to add on an additional fifth. "V'natan la'kohen et ha'kodesh." And then he gives the kodesh to the kohen. So it sounds over there that he's giving the Kodesh, that which he ate, he's giving to the Kohen. Not just simply restitution, not just simply monetary compensation, but he's replacing the Kodesh that he ate. And that's the Gemara's question is about to come up. What does that mean that he has to replace the Kodesh? So from that we learned, and we saw this in the Mishnah, that what it means in Natan, la Kohen et HaKodesh, is that you have to give something that's ra'ui liot Kodesh. When you repay the Kohen, you have to give him something that basically or essentially replaces the Chuma that you ate. Now, when is that true? The Pasuk tells us it's true, Bishkaga, when you do it unintentionally. And number two is Ishki Ochal, when you eat. So eating has a number of subsets to it. There's eating, drinking is a subset of that. And then Sicha, anointing, we know from the Gemara and Yomo, with regards to Yom HaKippurim, that anointing Sicha Hare Kishtia is equal to drinking. So that's also a subset of Achila. So because of that, all of these items are subsumed in the pasuk, or covered by this pasuk of Ish ki ochal kodesh bishkaga. So then, what does he have to do? V'yasav chomishito alav, he has to add a fifth on top of that. V'natan la'kohen et ha'kodesh. And then he has to repay the kohen by giving him that which would be the equivalent of chumar, will become truma. What he gives to him will now become truma. Now, that's again, only in a case of achila. Number two, only in a case of shogeg. In a case of mezid, he is the equivalent of a gazlan. So just like by chulin, if someone is gozel, someone steals, whether it's b'mezid, whether it's b'shogeg, all he has to do is repays that which he stole. He gives back. And over there, we know the Torah is not so makpid on how you repay it. Because there, the Torah says yashiv. Just return it. And the Gemara dashes from the word yashiv, rabot et tashav kesef. That means that any type of payment is sufficient in order to return. You just got to return the value that you stole. So when it comes to stealing, when it comes to b'mezid, by chulin, doesn't matter, mezid, shogeg, anything of the sort, you got a repayment. And that repayment's got to make up the monetary value of what you took. Here in Truma, there's a bifurcation of the din. There's a din of shogeg, which we just discussed in the pasuk, and there's a din of mezid. By mezid, the din is just like chulin. That is, you have to replace the value that you destroyed, because you're no worse than a gazlan. And now the Gemara poses the question, is he bayaluk, ushim ishalim? When in this case of shogeg, when he makes restitution, when he pays, then, how does he pay? Fi mida mishalim? Or fi damim mishalim? Does he pay based on the quantity? Or does he pay based on the value? So, the question being that when he has to now replace the truma that he ate, how does he replace the truma that he ate? Does he gauge it by the value of what he ate? Or does he gauge it by the quantity or somehow a measurement of what he ate? So, kohecha demi para shavya arba zuze. In the first place, it was worth 4 zuz. Olbesov shavya zuza. And now that same amount, that same quantity now is much cheaper. You could buy for a zuz. Loti bayiloch. There, we don't have any question. The vaday kamikara mishalim. He has to pay like the original amount, lefi damim. Because he has to pay at least a monetary amount, delo gora migazlan. He's no worse Then a gazlan, the tznan. We have a mishnah of gazlanim. Kol gazlanim mishalmim kishat gzeila. Any person who's gozel pays like the time of gzeila. At the moment of gzeila, that's when we determine the value. And Rashi points out over here that with this din of truma, you have two aspects to it. One aspect is the Torah's requirement that you replace the truma that was lost, but beyond, you've just stolen from a kohen. Independent of truma, a kohen owned this truma. You now took that which belonged to him, and now you have to replace it. You have to compensate him for that. Rashi says, even from the standpoint of truma, you only have to give back the same quantity. You ate a bunch of grapes. Now all you have to do is give him back a bunch of grapes. But now the bunch of grapes are worth much less than what you ate. So from the perspective of truma and trakapara over the eating of the truma, you might be able to solve the problem by simply giving him back a bunch of grapes. The problem is that you also have to compensate the kohen for the gzeila. And that we can't do without paying him the right amount of money. So that's what the Gemara says here. If it was a higher value at the time that he stole it, and now it's a lower value, even though from the tzad truma, kaprata truma, he could pay back the simple quantity, that's not sufficient here because he's got to restore the value that he stole from the kohen. And he's a gazlan. Underlying everything here, he's also a gazlan. So kiti bailach, the real question arises, the mikora shavya zuza. In the beginning, it was worth one zuz. Ubasov shavya arba'a. In the end, it was worth four zuz. My, what's the den there? The fi mida mishalem? Does he pay based on quantity? Because damale, griva achau, griva mishalem. He ate a sa'ah, he weighed that quantity. So a sa'ah mishalem, he should pay a sa'ah's worth. So there we look, irrespective of value, and we say, the Torah demands of you to replace the truma that you consumed. So over here, you have truma of a sa'ah that you consumed. You got to return it and make a truma out of the sa'ah that you returned to him. O dilma, the fi dami mishalem. Or maybe you pay just the value here. Bezuza achal, bezuza mishalem. He ate a zuz worth, value worth of food. So all he has to do is replace a zuz worth of food. What's the din in this case? So in this case, in terms of restoring compensation to the kohen, there's nothing to talk about because the value went in the opposite direction over here. Over here, the value went up. So in terms of the kohen, there's no issue in terms of returning value because even if you pay a zuz, you return the value that you stole. From perspective of gazlan, you've taken care of it. Here, the question is the opposite side. With regards to kapara for the truma, what's the din? Because from the tzad gazlan, we're clear that you could just pay the value, the one zuz, and you'd be done. From the tzad kaparata truma, what do you have to do here? Do you simply have to replace the value of truma? You have to say the same value of truma, now make that into truma? Or is it a quantitative decision? I have to say, when I tan the kohen at a kodesh, I have to replace the truma that I consumed. So I took a sa'ah worth, I got to give him a sa'ah back. That's irrespective, the value is irrelevant. Correct, yes. Right, that's the demand of the pasuk. Even if you say it's going to be damim, you still have to give him natan lakwein at hakodesh. You have to give him something that could be used for truma. So yes, even if you believe it has to be done on be api damim, we're still going to demand from you that if you do it api damim, that you give it or give them something that would be ra'ui for truma. So I'm Rav Yosef Tashma. I can bring you something from a braita achal grugoret vishilem lo tmarim. If he eats a dried fig and instead he gives him back dried dates. Tala bracha. That's a really good guy. He took something that was a dried fig and instead he gives him back a dried date. So now, Iyamar bishlam alafi mida mishalem. If he's paying based on quantity, amatu lahachi tavala bracha. Now I understand why it says that you should give him a bracha. Same quantity on a like-for-like basis, dates are worth a lot more than figs. So if he pays him back, he ate a bucket worth of figs and now he gives him back a bucket worth of dates, in terms of value, he's giving him a lot more value back. So I understand why tavala bracha. Dachal griva de grogorot. He ate a sa'ah worth of dried figs, the shavya zuza, that's worth a zuz. But kayayiv griva de tmarim, the shavya arba. And he gives him back a sa'ah worth of tmarim, they're worth four zuz. So he's giving him a lot more value back, and therefore that's why we would say tavola bracha. If you say all he has to do is pay value, then amai tavola bracha. Then what's the tavola bracha here? Bezuza achal. He ate a zuz worth of dried figs. Bezuza kamishalim. He gives him back a zuz worth of dates. It's just a question of what the vehicle for carrying the value is. But in terms of value, it's the same value. Why do you say tavola bracha? So we saw this in the Gemara in Eruvin. You don't have a proof from there. Abayi being the Talmud of Rav Yosef is saying back to Rav Yosef, I don't think that's such a good proof because you could say that the fi dami mishalem, he pays according to value. V'amai tavola bracha. So then why do you say tavola bracha here? D'achal mide d'lo kafit zvine. Because he ate something that's not readily saleable. It's something that doesn't have liquidity in the market. You can't monetize it quickly. And he replaces it with dates, which is something that he could sell quickly into the market. So even though he gave him on a like-for-like basis, he gave him the same value, he gave him something that's much easier for him to realize the monetary value in it. And that's why it's a vola bracha. So Abaye says, Rav Yosef, you don't really have a proof from here whether you pay api midah or you pay api damim. So now the Gemara, we don't have any proof to that. Tanan, our Mishnah. Ha'ochel trumat chametz bepesach b'shogeg, b'shalem keren v'chomesh. So our Mishnah says, if you eat trumat chametz bepesach b'shogeg, you pay keren v'chomesh. So we said in our Mishnah, i'amart bishlama lefi midah b'shalem, if you say that repayment in the Mishnah is focused on quantity, shapir, I understand why you have to make repayment here, why you have to make restitution over here. Now, li'amart lefi damim b'shalem, if you say he's paying based on value, chametz bepesach b'damim ho, if you're talking about chametz and pesach, it has no value. It's valueless. It's worthless. So if you're talking about compensation that's based on value, then why are you paying anything here? You ate something that was worthless. Your repayment is something that's worthless, so you don't have to pay. On the other hand, if you're talking about something about quantity, quantity ignores the underlying value. It just says, I need the same quantity. So if that's the case, I would understand why our Mishnah would demand that you make repayment. So it says, in. That's not so clear. Hamani, Rabbi Yosi Aglilihi. No, maybe our Mishnah is talking about damim. It's talking about value. Oh, wait, what about the fact that chametz on Pesach is worthless because you can't eat it, you can't get hana from it? Maybe the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Yosi Aglili damar, chametz bepesach mutar b'hana. He says chametz on Pesach is mutar b'hana. So if that's the case, there is value to chametz on Pesach. If there is value to chametz on Pesach, then we could be talking about compensation in terms of value. Where it says, ihochi, ema seifo. What are you going to do with the latter half of the Mishnah now? B'mezid patur minatush mumim idmei etzim. If he does it intentionally, then he doesn't have to make any payment. He doesn't have to make any penny for Trumat Torah, and he doesn't have to make any payment for Trumat Meah, which is the Mei Etzim, which is the value of Trumat Meah, is just to be used for Hesek. So, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, if it's Rabbi Yosi Aglili who says it's Mutar Bahana'ah, that means that Chametz and Pesach does have value. So then why B'mezid would you be Patur? Am I Patur Minatashlumim Idmei Etzim? He should have been Chayav in this case. He should have been have to compensate, meaning there's value to the chametz. He should have to pay back, like any other gazlan. All right, he doesn't have to pay the chomesh. So he doesn't have to do everything that would be involved with trumah. He doesn't have to give a chomesh. He doesn't have to give items that are a replacement for the original food that he took and make it into trumah. But b'mezid, he's like a regular gazlan. A regular gazlan has to make compensation. He has to pay. And over here, you have value. So since you have value, because it's mutar b'hana'ah, he should have to make a payment to the kohen. And yet, our Mishnah says he's completely patur. It says, no problem. Savalak Rab Nechunya ben Akana. He holds like Rab Nechunya ben Akana, the Tanya. Rabbi Chunya ben Akana we bumped into. Rabbi Chunya ben Akana Oset Yom HaKippurim K'Shabbat L'Tashlamim. That Rabbi Chunya ben Akana believes that Kamli D'Rabbi Minei applies not only to Chiyuv A Mitot Beitin, that when we say that when you have a dual punishment, a punishment that both involves a Chiyuv Mitot Beitin as well as compensation, we drop the compensation and you only get the more severe or stringent punishment, which is the debt at the hand of Beit Din. So too, Rabbi Chunya ben Akana applies that same din to karet by Yom HaKippurim. So he says karet, and over here, Mechiv Mitat Beit Din have the same din. So now, in our case, the question about what same din is over here. Our Mishnah involves two issues. One issue is chametz. Chametz on Pesach has a din of Chiyuv karet. So that would work well for Rabbi Chunya ben Akana. The only problem is, if that is the case, that the truth is that he ate chametz here, and the shogeg and mezid over here is referring to the chametz, I'll show you in a second why that won't work so well in the Mishnah. But the other possibility is he ate truma here. Truma has what we call a chiyuv mita bidei shemaim. Someone who eats truma has a punishment of mita bidei shemaim, because the pasuk says, umeitu bo ki chalulu, that those that consume it, those that eat it, will die. As I was saying, meitu bo, meitu there, refers to mita bidei shemayim. So what we're suggesting over here is that we're going to take Rav Nechunya ben Akana, who says by karet, there's a din of kam lebi derabi minei, he will say the same thing by mita bidei shemayim. By mita bidei shemayim, he will also say there's a din of kam lebi derabi minei. So let's look at our Mishnah for a second. In our Mishnah, you can't argue here that the shogeg in the Mishnah and the mezid of the Mishnah is speaking about the chametz. Because if it's speaking about the chametz, then why is the difference between mishalem keren v'chomesh versus not paying at all? Because even if you were just a shogeg by the chametz and you believe that that didn't get you the dispensation of kamalev dirabimne, why are you paying a keren v'chomesh? Right? A keren v'chomesh is associated with the truma, not associated with the chametz. And therefore, the way that Rashi reads the Mishnah now is that the shogeg and the mezid refer to the truma. They refer to the truma. And with regard to chametz, it's a case of shogeg. You're a shogeg by the chametz. So the chametz is completely unintentional. So over there, we have nothing to discuss. What we're discussing over here is your relationship with this truma. Either it was an unintentional consumption of the truma. In the case of unintentional consumption of the truma, then you don't have a chiyuv mita bidei shamayim. Since you don't have a chiyuv mita bidei shamayim, you have to pay for the truma. Because this is Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who believes that there is hana from chametz on Pesach. So since you now ate something that has value, you have to now pay keren v'chomesh in value back to the kohen to replace the truma that you ate. Second half, the Mishnah says, b'mezid patur mitashlamim u'dmei etzim. B'mezid here refers to, again, the truma. You ate the truma intentionally. If you eat the truma intentionally, then that individual is chayav mita bidei shemaim. Being chayav mita bidei shemaim now gives you the kamle derabimine, the dispensation that since you have a death penalty, you no longer have to make compensation over here. So if that's the case, that's why I understand you're patur mitashlamim, patur mitmei etzim, even though, of course, Rabbi Yossi Glili, it's mutar b'hana, and it has value. Despite the fact that it has value, there's no compensation here, not because it doesn't have value, but because you have a kamle derabimine, and the mita bidei shemaim wipes out the compensation in this case. And that's how Rashi explains the Gemara here, that Rabbi Yossi Glili, or the way we're explaining it now, is that he's taking Rabbi Chunni ben Akana and extending him. Just like Rabbi Chunni ben Akana says, by karet, there's a din of kamle derabimine. He will also say by mita bidei shemaim that there is a din of kamle derabimine. And the truth is, you could have talked about mezid betruma even outside of chametz. Chametz here becomes irrelevant in this sense, because mezid betruma creates kamla derabine even outside the world of chametz. Because even if it was on a regular weekday, and you ate truma b'mezid, the individual would be chaya mita b'dei shemayim, and he would be patur from the tashlumim. It has nothing to do with Pesach. Now, the reason that we have it here is because of the reisha, which is in the shogeg of the reisha, then he also be shogeg in the chametz. He's shogeg in the truma, and he's shogeg in the chametz. Because if in the reisha he was a mezid in chametz, he'd be chayav karet. And now according to this reading, then according to Rabbi Chunni ben Akana, you wouldn't have any tashlumim. So the reisha case has to be a case of shogeg b'chametz and shogeg b'truma. Because that way you don't have a mita b'dei shemayim, you don't have karet. And now I'm involved with compensation because it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili who says that it's mutar b'ana and there's value to this item over here. And the seifa comes to teach me the din that when you're mezi b'truma, even though you're shogeg b'chametz, that you still are kamle derabimine. And that's the chiddush here. The chiddush here is that kamle derabimine does not only apply to karet, it also applies to mita b'dei shemayim. And that would be the chiddush in the Mishnah. But that way we can explain the Mishnah according to value and not simply according to quantity, according to Mida Mishalim. The way I explained this yesterday when we read it, and that's the easiest way to read the Mishnah, is to say that Truma is not about value, it's about quantity. And that's why in the case of Shogeg, where the din is a din in quantity, you say pay Mishalim Kerem Chomesh. The din of Mezid, where it's a din of Gazlan, and it's about value, there you pay nothing. So that's what the Gemara wanted to prove from there, our Mishnah, exactly the way we explained it. Where it says, I can come up with it's not such a simple way, but a little more of a convoluted way to explain the Mishnah, even Bidamim, even in talking about value, by making Rabbi Yossi Glili the author of the Mishnah, and then in addition to that, taking Rabbi Chunni ben Akana and extending it from Karet to Mita Bidei Shemayim. What, in terms of replacing it? He doesn't have to give the exact same thing back. He has to, in terms of repayment, he doesn't have to give chametz back to replace the chametz that he ate. He only has to give items that could be truma. So it's not that it has to be the exact identical item. He just has to give something, again, if you hold like that it's about value, then he just has to give something that's valuable on the same value level, but and it can also be truma. So those would be the requirements. That it has to be chametz? No, that's not the case. And even if you want it to be chametz, you could just repay it after Pesach. I mean, that's another way to do it. You could just wait till after Pesach and repay it in that manner. All right. Kitana'e. It actually turns out to be a machloket tana'im, whether it's alpi midah mishalim or alpi damim mishalim. Because ochel trumat chametz bepesach, patur min atashlumim u'midmei etzim divrei Rabbi Akiva. Kiva says, one who eats trumat chametz Pesach doesn't have to make any compensation payments whatsoever. Yochum Nuri, mikhayev. Yochum Nuri says, you're chayav. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yochum Nuri. V'chi ma hana yesh lo ba. What hana is he getting from this? So Amar Rabbi Yochum Nuri, Rabbi Akiva, ma hana yesh ochel trumat meyah b'shar kol yimot ha-shana shemeshalem. Rest of the year round, if someone eats trumat meyah, they have to make compensation. They have to repay it. But why do they have to repay it? Trumat Tmeah is useless. It's worthless. You can't do anything with Trumat Tmeah because you can't eat it anymore. So it's not really worth anything. But that's not really true. And that's what Rabbi Kiva says back to him. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Lo. Im amart bitruma tmeya b'shayim otashana, she'afo b'she'in b'heter achila, even though it's not mutar to eat it, yesh lo bet heter hasaka. You have a right to burn it. So it does have underlying value. So the rest of the year, truma tmeya has value, and I can understand why you have to make compensation for eating truma tmeya. On the other hand, tomar b'zeh, when you're talking about in Pesach, she'in lo ba, lo heter achila, lo heter hasaka, on Pesach, zero value for achila, zero value for hana'ah. You can't do anything with it. So then, why would I have to make any compensation? Ha lema zeh domeh? What is this similar to? Trumat tutim v'anavim. It's like trumat that's taken off of berries and grapes, which over here we're talking about the liquid, the juices that come out of them, which are worthless. Now, if you can't eat them, then what are you going to do with those juices? You can't burn the juices. They're going to extinguish the fire. They're not going to do anything for you. So they're not good as a fuel. You can't eat them because they're tmeim. So if they become tmei, these items become worthless. And you can't even do mizalef. You can't even do the sprinkling to settle the dust, because that you do with wine. You do it with something that has a certain amount of aroma or body to it. These don't have that. So therefore, if you have trumat tutim v'anavim shnitma'a she'im ba'lo heter achila v'heter hasaka, they're worthless. So over there, if you eat that, you're not going to have to make any payment. So that's what I believe over here. What you clearly see from Rabbi Akiva is, Rabbi Akiva believes that compensation for truma is based on value. And his whole argument with Rabbi Yochum and Nuri is about value. He says, look, by truma tmeya, I can come up with value. So that's why I say there's compensation. By chametz on Pesach, and by truma tutim and anavim that became tmeim, I can't find value. Since there's no value, there's no repayment over here. So Rabbi Akiva clearly believes that the din here has to do with value. Rabbi Yochum and Nuri, on the other hand, is arguing that it doesn't have to do with value, it has to do with the midah. Mishalim. It's obvious that Rabbi Akiva is right, that there's a difference between Trumat Tmeya and Chametz and Pesach. But if you say Gufi Midah Mishalim, then there really isn't such a difference. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that you are Chayav to pay. You're Chayav to pay because Gufi Midah. It's about quantity, not about value. Now we have a qualification of this, which is Bamed Varim Amurim B'mafrish Truma V'chmitza. That's only if the Truma predates the fact that it became Chametz. Of a Mafrish Trumat Chametz, Divrei HaKol Ein HaKedoshah. But if someone has Mafrish Trumat Chametz, then it's not kedusha, meaning that trumat chametz you can't take off on Pesach because it doesn't have any value. So if you have chitim that became chametz, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yossi Aglili agrees, that even though he thinks that chametz Pesach is mutar b'hana'ah and you can use it for hasaka, this isn't kadosh because we're not going to allow you to be mafrish truma from chametz. So on Pesach itself, if you have chametz, you can't be mafrish Trumat Chametz on Pesach, because you can't take something off, whether according to those that say that it's valueless now anyway, you can't make it into Trumat Chametz, but even according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who thinks there is value, and there is hana from here, we still don't let you do that, because what are you doing? You're being Mafish Trumat to burn it. That we're not going to let you do. We want you to be Mafish Trumat that you can utilize and you can use, because for here, the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Titein lo, velo de oro, that you have to give him something that can be utilized, not put into his fire. Therefore, Divrei HaKol Ein HaKedoshah, because of the pasuk. And that's why, even for Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says it's mutar b'hana'ah b'chametz over here, this would not work for truma, because the pasuk of Reshit Gancha Titen Lo tells you that you have to give him something that he can eat, not something that he's going to throw to his fire, something that he's only going to get hana'ah from.
Tanyo Yidach. We have the Braita, which is Natana Kohen Kodesh, that you have to give the Kohen something that is ra'ui to be at Kodesh. Devar ha'ra'ui liot Kodesh. Something that is available to be Kodesh, available to be Truma. Prat, Ochel Trumat Chametz bePesach. It comes to exclude the case of someone eats Ochel Trumat Chametz bePesach. So now, the Perisha Pasuk, the basic Perisha Pasuk, which is what we read before, which is, Mashma Shitein Lo Davar HaRiot Liot Kodesh. Kamo She'achal. You have to give something that is Ra'ui Tiot Kodesh. Now, this Braita says, Prat Ochel Trumat Chametz bePesach Shepatur Min HaTashlumim UMidneitzim Tivei Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says over here, there's no payment over here. It's valueless. Therefore, there's no truma on Pesach. There's no compensation. Rabbi Eliezer chisma mechayev. Rabbi chisma says you are chayev. Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rabbi Eliezer chisma. V'chi ma hana yesh lo ba. I don't understand. Why are you making compensation over here? There's no hana here. This thing is valueless. It's worthless. Chametz on Pesach. So Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer chisma, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. V'chi ma hana yesh lo echol truma tmeya v'shayim ota shana shemeshalim. Someone who eats Trumat Tmeya the rest of the year around, what hana did he get that he has to make compensation? So Amar Lo, the same answer that we saw from Rabbi Akiva. Lo, ima mar Trumat Tmeya b'shayim ota shana, she'afo pi she'en lo b'heter achila. You're right, it's not ra'ui to be eaten. Yesh lo b'heter asaka. It is mutar to be mesiket, it's mutar to get hana from it. Tomar b'zu she'en lo b'lo heter achila, b'lo heter asaka. Here you're talking about chametz and pesach, which has zero value. It's not good for achilah. It's not good for hana. So Amar Lo, what is Rabbi Elazar Chisma's answer to him? It's different than Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's answer. Which is apizu yesh lo beheter asaka. You're wrong. Chametz and pesach also has a heter asaka. Shim ratzah goein miritzah lifnei kabo. He wants to. He can put it in front of his dog to eat. Or misika tachta tavshilo. He can put it under his fire. What is Rabbi Elazar Chisma answering him? Rabbi Elazar Chisma is answering him that I hold like Rabbi Yossi Haglili. I believe that chametz and pesach is mutar b'hana'a. And for me, that means that shumat me'ah and chametz and pesach are equal. And that's why I say you're chayav on pesach. So over here, as opposed to before where we saw the machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri are not arguing about whether chametz and pesach is mutar b'hana'a or not mutar b'hana'a. They both agree it's asur b'hana'a. Their machloket is about how does compensation shumah work. Rabbi Kiva says it goes by the value, and this is valueless. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says it goes by quantity, and there is quantity here, and therefore there is a need for payment. On the other hand, in this braita, the machloket is about whether chametz is mutar b'hana or not. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov believes that chametz and pesach is asur b'hana, and therefore, like Rabbi Kiva, it's valueless, and you don't have to make any payment on pesach. On the other hand, Rabbi Lezer Chisma believes, like Rabbi Yossi Haglili, that it's mutar b'hana. If it's mutar b'hana, it has value. And since it has value, then we can talk about compensation for truma. And that's exactly what the Gemara concludes over here. The Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, v'Rabbi Akiva, v'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, all three of these Tanaim, kulu svirlu chametz pesach asur b'hana. They all believe that chametz and pesach asur b'hana, u'baha plige. And the machloka between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri has nothing to do with heter chametz and pesach or not, but rather, it has to do with Rabbi Akiva's savar, the feed, the mishalim. You pay a value of the truma that consumed. And since there's no value here, because we're talking about chametz and pesach, there's nothing to compensate for. You pay based on the quantity, and there is quantity, even if there's no value. Gemara says, pshita. What would you have thought otherwise? That's how we've explained this all the way along. We didn't have any other havamina to explain it otherwise. Gemara says, no. Now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri really holds like Rabbi Akiva, that the fee damim mishalem, that you pay based on value. The amar the fee damim mishalem, v'ahotamainu taima. So then why is he arguing Rabbi Akiva? The kamechai mishum desover like Rabbi Yossi Haglili. He holds like Rabbi Yossi Haglili, damar chametz pesach mutar b'hana. Kamash melon, that's not the case. He's not like Elazar Chisma. Elazar Chisma argues because he thinks chametz and pesach is mutar b'hana, and you pay truma lefi damim. No, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri does not learn that way. The reason he's arguing Rabbi Akiva is not because he thinks it's mutar b'hana, because he has a fundamental difference in compensation for truma. Ze'eim achanami. So why don't we say that is the position of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri? How you do know that that's not the position of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri? So when it says, Im kein hadalei Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, the Rabbi Akiva, keked madalei Rabbi Elazar Chisma, the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Because at the end of the Braita, we have a response from Rabbi Elazar Chisma to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says, just like you said, Trumat Me'ah is mutar b'hana, so too chametz and pesach is mutar b'hana. In the first Braita, when we have Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, after Rabbi Akiva says, wait, Trumat Me'ah and chametz are different, we have no response from Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The fact that we have no response from Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri shows us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is not arguing about that point. He's not disagreeing with Rabbi Akiva's basic point that one is mutar b'hana, one is asur b'hana. His argument is about how you view truma, not about isur hana or mutar b'hana. Because if he argued about that point, then he should have responded to Rabbi Akiva afterwards and say, well, no, your comparison is wrong because it really is the same. It really is that chametz and truma are the same way that Rabbi Elazar Chisma answered Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri doesn't say that shows us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is not arguing with Rabbi Akiva with regards to that statement that he made, that chametz and pesach is asur b'hana. His argument's about truma, not about chametz b'pesach. If you think it's the fee damim, it depends. Again, what's the payment over here? If trumat me'ah has to be paid the fee damim, then you're right. Then you have to make a repayment that is a fee apia damim. But if you believe it's the fee midam shalem, then truma me'ah for hasakah and truma tohara are going to have the same din. You're going to give a sa'ah for either one of them. So the reason you're coming to that conclusion is because Rabbi Akiva who said it. Rabbi Akiva who believes the fee damim shalem, then when he says by trumat me'ah, says you do it apia hana. But that's Rabbi Akiva the shitato that believes you pay fee damim. But if you pay the fee midah like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that means that Trumat Me'ah and Trumat Torah, when you compensate, it's the exact same thing. And you have to pay kind for kind in that case. And even according to Rabbi Akiva, again, you'll pay kind for kind, but it'll be based on the value, and then there will be a difference between Trumat Me'ah and Trumat Torah. All right. Tanu Rabbanan. Ha'ochel kezayit truma. Someone who eats a kezayit worth of truma, mishalem keren v'chomesh. Abba Shaul omer, ad she'er bo shaveh pruta. No, that it's not enough that he had kezayit, but he says that the threshold here has nothing to do with the kezayit, it has to do with the shaveh pruta. my time in the Tana Kama. What's the reasoning behind the position of the Kama? Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Ish ki yochal kodesh bishgaga. So the focus here is an achila. So achila b'kezayit. So the Torah, throughout the Torah, we know whenever achila, the threshold or the minimum shear for achila is kezayit. So if we're talking about a kezayit here, that's what should be the threshold here as well for being chayav and keren v'chomesh. V'avashol my taima. So what's the reason behind Rabbi Shmuel? Amar Kra b'natan. The latter half of the pasuk says b'natan l'kohen et kodesh. You have to give the kohen the kodesh. V'nitina pachot mishav puta. So nitina, even though as Tosva points out, the word nitina throughout the Torah has different meanings. Many times nitina means a koshu. It's not always that a nitina means a shaveh pruta. But over here, the focus on the nitina is that the nitina has to have some sort of value because he's natan lekohen et kodesh. You have to give the kohen this kodesh. And since over here, natan lekohen et kodesh, that has to be through tashlumim. It's a repayment. And repayment needs a minimum of a shaveh pruta. So because of that, he focuses on the word nitina here being something of value. When you give the kohen tashlumim, you have to give him tashlumim that has some value to it. So that threshold is a shaveh pruta. So one of them focuses on the iniquity, the sin, which is eating the kodesh. So that's why he uses kazayit. The other one focuses on the compensation or the restitution, which is natan lekohen et kodesh. So there, the nitina has to be a shaveh pruta. So now the Gemara says, now what about the other? Each one of them has the other half of the pasuk they have to deal with. Vidach nami aktiv yochal. For Abba Shaul says that we focused on the compensation side of it. He has to deal with the first half of the pasuk, which ish ki yochal kodesh bishkaga. So how prat the mazik hu da'ata? That's simple. I can explain that to you, that which we said earlier when we started the shiur today, that this type of form of compensation in truma is only true when you eat truma. If you destroy truma, if you're a mazik of truma, then you're like any other gazan, and you only have to pay back the karen, and you're treated like a gazan. It doesn't have any special dinim over there. Then you're just a regular thief. You're a regular ganav. There's nothing to talk about. This din is unique to achilat truma. So the achilat here is not to teach you about the shiur, but to teach you about the methodology by which you're going to be chayav, or you're going to have to deal with it in this way. V'tana kama, aktiv v'natan. For the tana kama, he also has the latter half of the pasuk, which says v'natan. How mi baile the davar aruyui liot kodesh. That comes to teach you that v'natan l'kohen et kodesh. You have to give the kohen kodesh. V'natan kodesh comes to teach you that you have to give him something that is kodesh, something that is ra'ui liot truma. Not usually. It's usually that the keren itself has to be shaveh pruta, and the chomesh is above that. All right, Tan Rabbanan. Ha'ochel truma pachot mi kezayit. Someone who eats truma less than a kezayit, mishalem et hakeren, ve'en mishalem et hachomesh, and he doesn't pay the chomesh. So hey, dummy, what's the case here? Italate be shove puta. If he doesn't have a shove puta here, keren nami lo lishalem. Why is he paying keren? Forget about the kezayit being the threshold. Why is he paying keren at all? V'it be shove pruta. If there is a shove pruta here, chomesh nami lishalem. Then he should also have to pay the chomesh. So Gemara says, no, the olam did be shove pruta. There is a shove pruta here. V'afili hochi. Nevertheless, kevin delate be kezayit, mishalem et hakeren, v'en mishalem et hachomesh. That you have to pay the keren without the chomesh because the threshold here is kezayit and not shove pruta. What do you see from this? This brayta that we just quoted is obviously authored by the Tana Kama and not Abba Shaul. Abba Shaul views the threshold as being shaveh pruta. This brayta clearly views the threshold as being a kezayit. And that's what the Gemara is going to say in 1 second here. But what's important here is to differentiate between the two pieces. In the first piece, even if you believe that a kezayit is the threshold for being chayav, still, to pay keren, to pay basic keren, which is when you didn't meet the threshold of a kezayit, the only reason you pay keren is because you stole. You're a gazlan. And we know the threshold for gazlan is a shaveh pruta. So even according to the one who says that kezayit is the threshold to reach a keren v'chomesh, he agrees to reach the threshold of a keren by itself, you still need a shaveh pruta. And that's what the Gemara said over here. If there's no shaveh pruta here, there's nothing to pay. There's no keren and there's no chomesh because there's nothing. He's not a gazlan and he's not also in violation of eating truma bishogeg. So in that case, there should be nothing to pay. That's why the Gemara insists here that it has to be a minimum of a shaveh pruta. If it's a minimum of shaveh pruta, I understand now why he pays a keren when he violated it, because he's a gazlan. But why isn't he paying the chomesh? The answer is because the threshold is not shaveh pruta. The threshold is a kezayit. So he met the threshold of a shaveh pruta. So now he's chayv in keren. But he didn't meet the threshold of a kezayit to be chayav also in the chomesh. So amru a rabbanan kamed rapapa. So rabbanan said to rapapa, hadlo ka Abba Shaul. Like what we just said now. This bright is obviously not like Abba Shaul. Dik Abba Shaul, if it's like Abba Shaul, Hamar came in sheish b'shave pruta. He said if there's a shave pruta, I've got the leip al kazayit, even though it doesn't ever reach the threshold of kazayit, that you are chayav in keren v'chomesh. And that's exactly what you have here. You have a case where it's above a shave pruta, but doesn't meet the threshold of kazayit. Some of the Rav Papa said something interesting back to them. Afilu teima Abashol. Abashol could be the author of this breita. Abashol tartebai. You misunderstood Abashol. Hashem, when Abashol made a statement that about shave pruta, he doesn't say exclusively shave pruta. He says it must also be a shave pruta. If you have a case where you ate a kazayit worth of truma that was not worth a shave pruta, according to the Tanakama, you're still chayav in keren v'chomesh because you met the threshold of a kazayit. According to Rav Papa, now Abashol has a second requirement. Not only do you have to eat a kazayit, you also have to eat something that's a kazayit and shave pruta. Umi bai Abashol tarti. Is that really true that Abashol requires both the kazayit and a shave pruta? But it's not. We have a Mishnah that says Abashol omer et sheyesh bo shave pruta chayav b'tashlumim et sheyin bo shave pruta einu chayav b'tashlumim. He basically seems to say that shave pruta is the threshold. No other mention here. Amru lo, so the chachamim respond to him and say, lo amru shave pruta el inyan mi'ila bilvat. Shave pruta is the right threshold when we're talking about mi'ila. When you're talking about mi'ila, then shave pruta is a problem because by mi'ila, misappropriating hekdesh, the word achila is never used. So since the word achila is never used, then the threshold or the guideline that we use for being in violation of mi'ila, misappropriating hekdesh, is a shave pruta. But by truma, avadu truma, enu chayavet shavel kazayit. On the other hand, by truma, you need a minimum of kazayit because here it says, v'ish k'yochal kodesh, the word achila is used. So therefore, kazayit is the threshold. So now, why is this a proof that Abashol doesn't think that you need both? Because the way the Chachamim responded to him, if Abashol over here was saying, not only do you need a kazayit, you also need a shavet pruta, which is, you could read it, the same way that Rav Papa read it before in Abashol's position, you could read it over here. But listen to the Chachamim's response. The Chachamim's response is, avalu truma inu chayav ad shehei bo kazayit. Truma is not chayav until you have a kazayit in it. What does that imply about what Abashol said? Abashol said pruta. Now, if he really said pruta plus kazayit, then the chachamim shouldn't say to him until there is a kazayit. He already said there needs to be a kazayit in there. They should have responded to him and say, ad shirak yebo kazayit. Leave out the shavah pruta, but just the kazayit. The fact that they respond to him and say, no, you need to meet the threshold of a kazayit means that Abashol clearly doesn't think you need that threshold. And that's what the Gemara says. Vimita, kevin sheyesh bo kazayit mi bayilei. As soon as you reach through kazayit, that's enough. If Abashol believed that kazayit was enough plus the shavah pruta, then the chachamim could just respond to him and say, no. Kesheish bo kazayit, that's it, you're chayav. That's not what they say to him. They say to him, ad shehei bo kazayit, which indicates that Abashol doesn't think you need a kazayit at all, and that disproves Rav Papa's position to Yufta. That is, undermines Rav Papa's thesis here that Abashol requires both of them. And then the Gemara makes another statement, which is, av Rav Papa hadarbe. Rav Papa retracted that position that Abashol really requires both of them. Detanya, I have a braita. V'chata bishgaga. The person sins unintentionally. Prat. L'mezid. That comes to exclude a case where he does it intentionally. Over here, we're talking about mi'ila. In the case of mi'ila, one is only chayav for the asham mi'ilot and the keren v'chomesh that is given for misappropriation of hekdesh. That is only true bishkaga when you do it unintentionally. You do it intentionally, then none of that applies. So the Gemara says, v'alotinu, isn't a kav v'chomer? Why do I need a pasuk? Uma shar mitzvot shechayav behen karet. So now you have other mitzvot in which the punishment when you do it intentionally is karet. Poter behenet amezid. If you do it intentionally, then there is no punishment. Because what happens if you do it bishogeg? In cases where there's a chiyuv karet and you do it unintentionally, you bring a korban chatat. So in that case, you bring a korban chatat. So now, in the case where you did it unintentionally, you bring a korban chatat. If you do it intentionally, you don't bring a korban chatat. The korban's gone. No more korban chatat. There's only a chiyuv karet. No korban anymore. So mi'ila, she'en ba karet. Mi'ila that doesn't have the punishment of karet. Einu din she'patarat ha-mezid. Then certainly, it should be the case that by mezid, you're not going to have to bring it. So in a case where the punishment is much more severe, the severe punishment means that you get a chiyuv karet. In that case, we would think that you're much more necessity for kapara. Despite that fact, when you do it b'shogeg, you bring a chatat. You do it b'mezid, nothing. So over here, by mi'ila, which is a much lower sin, it's something that does not have as high a stringency in terms of punishment. So over there, if you have a punishment that's laid out by the Torah, by shogeg, by unintentional, then certainly by the point in time you reach intentional, you're not going to be entitled to that kapara. Now, the truth is, you could undermine this Kal V'chomer. The Gemara is going to use a different reasoning, but as Tosafot points out, it's very easy to undermine this Kal V'chomer and say that's exactly the reason. Hu adin notain. That because karet is such a high form of punishment, therefore the chatat for shogeg does not suffice as kapara for the sin of mezid. On the other hand, by me'ilah, which is a lower sin, therefore the prescription by shogeg will suffice to cover kapara needed by mezid. And that's what the Rish says. The shapir parach v'lov hochi. The Gemara had a question without this, or has a way to undermine the Kal V'chomer without this. But truthfully, you can undermine the Kal V'chomer from in and of itself, which is, who says that the stringency should lead to the point where you should have more reason for kapara? Might be just the opposite. The more stringent or the more problematic the action is, the less likely we are to grant you kapara. And therefore, by karet, where it's a more grievous sin, maybe there, that's why chatat doesn't work. By me'ilah, which is a less problematic sin, maybe over there, the din of shogeg should be applied to mezid as well. The Gemara says, no, that's not such a clear differential between them, because yamart b'shar mitzvot shekein lo chiyev behen mita. Wait a minute. In other mitzvot, the punishment is karet, but it doesn't have mita. Tomar b'me'ilah shechiyev ba mita. Wait, by me'ilah, the punishment is mita bidei shamayim. So mita bidei shamayim, maybe that's more chamor than karet. So why it's more chamor than karet? It's interesting, but some of the Rishonim suggest over here that the difference relates to that by karet, the punishment is solely of the individual and his offspring, but his possessions remain intact. And then mita bidei shemayim includes both the death of the individual as well as the loss of his possession. So that'd be the difference here, that mita bidei shemayim has this chumrah associated with it, this stringency that involves not only the death, but also the loss of possessions. So the Talmud Omar, that's why I need the pasuk to tell me bishkaga. Only when you're a shogeg, unintentional, do you have this punishment of Hashem me'ilot and Karen v'chomesh. Prat me'zid, come to exclude a me'zid. So that's why I need a specific pasuk to exclude it. I wouldn't have been able to extrapolate this din from the other chiyuvei chata'ot by karet, because it doesn't work so well. So now, the Gemara asks the obvious question is, what happened? What was the havamina? And what was the conclusion over here? Everybody knows that me'ilot was chayav mita bidei shamayim, and everybody knows that the other thing we're talking about here is karet. So why in the first place, then when he asked the question and he posed the Kal V'chomer, all there he was fine with it. And then all of a sudden he wakes up and he says, oh, no, mita bidei shamayim is more chamor. What happened to that in the first place? So that's what the Gemara says. V'amalei Rav Nachma Yitzchak B'chir Ba'avin. Hai Tana, mikara alimalei karet, usof alimalei mita. The way he poses the Kal V'chomer in the beginning makes it sound like karet is more chamor than mita bidei shamayim. That's why he made the Kal V'chomer. Then all of a sudden he changes his mind and says, usof, mita bidei shemayim seems more chamor, and he undermines the whole Kal V'chomer. So the Amalei, so Rabbi Chiya responds to him, Hachi kamar, lo, iamart b'shar mitzvot shekein lo chiyev behem mita b'pachot mikizayit. There's a difference between other mitzvot, the other mitzvot like chelev, dam, notar, all of these things that you're chayav for achila. Over there, the threshold for achila is a kizayit. So when you're dealing with yuvei karet that are in achila, there you need a kizayit. That's the shiur. Tomar b'me'ilah shechiyev ba mita b'pachot mikizayit. By me'ilah, we said before, there's no word achila that's found there. And since there's no word achila that's found there, that shave pruta. Pruta is the threshold for being chayav in me'ilah. Now, we're going to see this in 1 second. I'm just explaining to you now so you know this, that this is only the opinion of Rabbi. Rabbi believes that me'ilah has a chiyuv mita bidei shemayim because he has a gezer shava chet mitruma. Therefore, he learns from Truma. Just like by Truma, there's a Mita Bidei Shemaim. So too, by Me'ilah, there's a Mita Bidei Shemaim. But we know that the Mita by Truma only comes from Achila. We just read Ish Ki Ochal Kodesh. That only comes from Achila. And therefore, a Rabbi, when he applies it to Me'ilah, only applies it by Achila. Rabbi will agree if you misappropriate Hekdesh, you have Me'ilah that's not through Achila, there's no Mita Bidei Shemaim. So the comparison here is between Achila and Achila. Based on this, Rabbi Chiya's response, this is how the Braita works. He said, first, I have a Kal V'chomer. Karet is more chamor than mita bidei shemayim. By karet, when I bring a karban chatat b'shogeg, if the person does it b'mezid, nothing. So certainly by me'ilah, where it's only a chiyuv mita bidei shemayim, certainly there, where you have a prescription for b'shogeg, when it comes to mezid, you should do nothing. He says, no, wait a minute. It's not so simple here that the chiyuvei karet by achila are more chamor than the chiyuv achila by me'ilah. Because the shiur by those who make karet is a kezayit. The shiur by me'ilah is a shaveh pruta. So it's not so clear that we're dealing with something that's more kal than the karet. It might be more chamur because it has a lower threshold of ishira shave pruta. So that would be the response in the brayta. That's why I need a pasuk to tell me tamalor bishgaga. Only when you do it unintentionally do you bring this prescription hashami yilot keren v'chomesh, not bimezid. And I couldn't have learned it out from karet. So it's amarle. So Reb Nachman Yitzchak says back to b'chia tanuch datcha shenach dati. You know, you should be at rest, at peace, because you settled my mind. You did something good for me, so you should have that favor returned to you. Samalei, my nichuta. Why do you think it's such a good answer? The Rabbi Rav Sheshet, Shadu Bei Narga. He says, you like my answer, but guess what? When I told it to Rabbi Rav Sheshet, they threw an axe into it. Throwing an axe into it means they basically said, my answer is not right. I'm incorrect over here. Why? Manch mailei damar hezid bimila bimita. Who's the one who says that when you bimezid? Our violation of Mi'ilah, misappropriating Hekdesh, it's b'mita, mita b'dei shemaim, Rabbi hi. That's authored by Rabbi, the Tanya. We have a brayta. Hezid b'mi'ilah, Rabbi omer b'mita, v'chamim omrim ba'azhara. Rabbi says, b'mezid, you're chayav mita b'dei shemaim, the chamim say you're only in violation of a lav, of a lo taseh. So my time with the Rabbi. What's the reason behind Rabbi's position? Amar Rav, gamar chet, chet mitruma. He learns out gzeir shav of chet, chet from truma. Matruma b'mita, just like truma is mita b'dei shemayim, because it's a metu bok yicholu. Amila b'mita, so too mila is b'mita, because the word chata'a and chet are used by both truma and by mila. So just like by truma you have a mita b'dei shemayim, after mila you have a mita b'dei shemayim. So what about the chachamim? By the way, we know this from the Gemara in mila that everybody darshins this gezer shavu chet chet, because many of the dinim of mila are learnt out of truma. So also the Chachamim learn this chet chet. So what do they do? Because there it says, Meitu bo ki yichalu. So there the Gemara Dashin's bo is a miut. So only by truma get mita b'dei shemayim, but not anything outside of there. So they have a miut by truma to tell you that mita b'dei shemayim only applies by truma, not to mila. But they also have this gezer shava of chet chet. So now, umina, if Rabbi is really learning from truma, then ma truma b'gezayit, af mila b'gezayit. So too, mila has to be gezayit. So enoch anami, according to the Chachamim, who learn out from Truma, they learn out to Mi'ilah, but not completely, then over there they might have a possibility of the din being different by Mi'ilah than it is by Truma. But Rabbi, who learns the entire kit and caboodle from Truma, and he brings the punishment even in there, then it's clear that he should have to keep it parallel in terms of what the shiur is, what the threshold is to be chayav. Umat l'rapapu, mimai, the Rabbi k'rabonon sfile. Who says Rabbi holds like the Rabbonon? Wait a minute, how do you know that Truma has a threshold of a gezayit? You just made that assumption, that by Truma, the din is a gezayit. We had an opinion, Abba Shaul, who said that the din by Truma is a shaveh pruta. So maybe Dilma Kaba Shaul Sfirle. Maybe he holds like Abba Shaul that says that it's a shaveh pruta. And that means when he learned the gezayit shaveh chet chet from Truma, he learns out shaveh pruta from Truma to shaveh pruta in Mi'ilah. Damar Yishba shaveh pruta, afagav delay ba gezayit. Because Abba Shaul believes that you can be chayav in truma for eating something that's shaveh pruta, even though it doesn't reach the threshold of kezayit. What do you see from here? Who just made this statement? Who just asked this question? This is Rav Papa. Rav Papa asked this question. What does he say that Abba Shaul says? Abba Shaul says, shaveh pruta is the threshold. Forget about kezayit. Kezayit's not even relevant. So that's against what Rav Papa said before, the tarte. So that's clear that Rav Papa retracted his position because Rav Papa hu damar d'Abba Shaul tarte bai. It's clear here that Rav Papa retracted his position, and that his position is that Abba Shaul only requires a shaveh pruta. Since he requires a shaveh pruta, now I can go back and say, wait a minute, it's just fine over here. Rabbi learns out chet chet mitruma. So he learns out that's where you have chiyuv mita b'dei shemayim. That's why you have a chiyuv mita b'dei shemayim b'mi'ilah. Just like truma shaveh pruta, also over here is shaveh pruta. And now I have what Rav Chiya said. I can undermine the Kal v'chomer by saying that mi'ilah is a shaveh pruta, and karet is cases of kezayit. And Rav Chiya's din could stand based on what Rav Papa says over here. All right, we'll come back and continue explaining the Braita tomorrow because it goes further down the Amud.